He is a man with an amazing resume, but at the Super Bowl, he did request that he simply be introduced as the man who will forever have the title of first guest on the CBS Sports Network Jungle Simulcast. Now, above and beyond that, he is also an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. He appears every single Sunday on the NFL Today on CBS. He is Jason Lockin for JLC. Good to have you back. How are you?
It's good to be back. You could have just stopped at first guest ever, but, you know.
My man.
It's your show, so it's your call.
My man, I appreciate that. Listen, I'm going to see you on Sunday, but I wanted to catch up with you in advance. Let's start with Antonio Brown and the Patriots. What do you make, Jason, of how everything has unfolded since his release from the Raiders right on through today?
I don't know. I think my head is still spinning a little bit, Jim. Just kind of trying to take in what has been a dizzying whirlwind. Only a matter of weeks, feels like months at times, covering them on a moment-by-moment basis. I don't know that I've seen anything quite like this before, and now obviously with the allegations against him, that things are in a completely different sphere than anything related to helmets or feet or his mutiny or whatever to get out of Oakland. So, you know, we'll have to see here what the league does. That there's two individuals involved in this, and I think only those two know the exact nature of their relationship. I don't know how this is going to play out. The league is still very much at the beginning of its investigation. Could they use the at some point in time the commissioner's list exemption there to basically pay him to stay away from the team while it's investigated? We've seen that in the past. I have not been told that any decision's been made on that just yet. In the meantime, he's practicing with the Patriots, and that's sort of where it stands.
Jason Lockin for joining us. To that point, is it too soon to tell, Jason? What, if anything, do you expect the league office to do as it relates to Brown?
I don't have an expectation, honestly, Jim. I don't know anything about this case other than what's in the complaint and what's in the lawyer statement and what's in the Patriots statement. And we'll have to see, I guess, where this investigation goes, how much evidence there is. I guess they want to, the league will sit down with Brittany Taylor at some point here and discuss the situation with her. That's likely to happen next week. Antonio Brown says that, through his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, that he'll cooperate completely and fully. I don't know where it's going, Jim. At this point, it's a civil matter and not a criminal matter. We've got certain district attorneys saying they'll look into it, whatever that exactly means. One thing I have learned with Antonio Brown is don't really set expectations, or just in general, not even regard to this case, but just him and sort of the whirlwind that he's been since he left Pittsburgh. Like, expect the unexpected.
Jason Lockin for is my guest. One more thought, since you mentioned Drew Rosenhaus. In an interview yesterday, Jason, Drew Rosenhaus said that he and Antonio Brown have been anticipating the possibility of a lawsuit. How likely is it that they would or would not have mentioned that to the Patriots?
I honestly don't know. The Patriots aren't talking about that element of this. Drew Rosenhaus isn't talking about, that element of this. There wasn't a lot of time. Now, there's definitely people who are kind of looking at the whole timeline of how quickly he ended up with the Patriots anyway. And as I reported in the NFL Today over the weekend, there's a lot of raised eyebrows and a lot of suspicious GMs about, how quickly that came together. But given that it is a fairly complicated contract, especially for a short-term contract, and it has some unique language, and there were other teams interested, if you take Drew Rosenhaus at his word, which is, I didn't start this process until, the player was released and I was allowed to start the process, I don't know. I mean, it was done in a matter of hours, Like, yeah. And there were other things going on in Drew Rosenhaus's life and other things going on in the New England Patriots organization. So I don't know just logistically, how much, and you're talking about an issue of this magnitude, I don't know how much you could have gone into it.
Jason Lockeforia joining us. All right, so the Patriots do not want to talk about Antonio Brown, but they would love to talk all about the Miami Dolphins. According to reports, Jason, a lot of Dolphins do not want to be Dolphins. When you look at everybody who left in the offseason, either in free agency or by trade, is there anybody else who could still go, or is that fire sale already over?
Yeah, my reporting on that situation doesn't lead me anywhere close to what was initially reported last Sunday night. You know, they've had a rocky tenure there. There's been a lot of things that have gone awry. Jim Caldwell, you know, unfortunate health situation. You're firing the offensive line coach, you know, like a week into camp. There's certainly been some head scratchers, and I'm not going to tell you it's all completely warm and fuzzy. But, like, look at the roster, you know. There's only five guys making more than $5 million. One of them's Ryan Fitzpatrick. Like, he knew what he was signing on for. You know, Xavien Howard's their highest paid player. He just did the deal in May. Like, you know, he knew what was going on. Like, you know, like, it's not like a shock to him that the Dolphins aren't world beaters this year. There's not many tradable guys on the roster. The one guy, you know, Rashad Jones, if he could get out of there and they could get him out of there, would that make some sense? Yeah, but at over $13 million for a guy who hasn't played much the last couple years, you know, teams have sniffed around, but they're looking to get him for free. So, no, I would say much ado about nothing and not much to see there. They're going to be bad. They're going to lose a lot of games, and they're going to do it primarily with the crew that's there right now.
Right now, you and I spoke right after the Ravens had drafted Lamar Jackson. You were making it very clear how significant you thought that pick was for that organization. What do you make of what you saw from him in week one?
I mean, that's an absolute tour de force. That's, you know, maximum Lamar. You're not going to get that every week. You don't get maximum Mahomes every week. You know what I mean? We didn't get maximum Joe Montana every week. I mean, certain things fall into line. It's a perfect storm. They unleashed things on Miami that Miami wasn't ready for, and they have all these new weapons, Hollywood Brown, Boykin, you know, even getting Hayden Hurst. People forget, Lamar wasn't even their first draft pick in that draft. They took Hayden Hurst first. He pretty much was a medical redshirt most of last year. Even when he was on the field, he still had that plate in his foot. He wasn't right. He should be an explosive tight end. He already clicked with Mark Andrews last year, did Lamar. So it's not going to be like that every week, but it could be like that many weeks. And I'm not buying that it had everything to do with Miami not being very good. Go look at Miami's secondary. Over 25% of their salary cap is tied to the starting secondary. And there's dudes there who have balled big time in college, and a lot of them have done it in the NFL. I mentioned Howard's payday. They were getting eviscerated. Like, they were, and I get it, wasn't a great pass rush, yada, yada, yada. But Baltimore's offense is going to be a thing to behold. It's different than everybody else. They're going to run the ball in different ways than even we saw week one. And if they have a real pass rush, or even a semblance of a real pass rush, then they're a team that could win a Super Bowl. Frankly, my concerns, and I've written about this all offseason, are more with the secondary pass rush options besides Matt Judon than it is anything with the offense, because Lamar is the real deal.
We're talking to Jason Lockenfora. Meantime, former Ravens QB Joe Flacco was not exactly a tour de force in making his debut for the Broncos on Monday night. How did he look to you?
I mean, that's just who Joe Flacco is, and it's who he has been really since his body, you know, since he started getting hurt, and not minor stuff. You know what I mean? He had a significant back injury. He had, you know, the knee tear, which, you know, the incredible consecutive game started streak. He has the ACL tear. He comes back, it's a back, then the next year it's a hip labrum thing. Like, these aren't, mild hamstrings. So I think his body has started to break down. The long ball that we remember him, for, and especially in that crazy playoff run where that ended up with him being a Super Bowl MVP, that's just not who he is anymore. It's a lot of checkdowns. It's one of the lowest yards per attempt in the league, and it's the most road interceptions in the NFL since he won that Super Bowl MVP award. And, you know, I think that's who the Broncos were getting to get a four for him and have the Broncos assume the whole contract was a coup for the Ravens, because they were obviously going in another direction, and specifically behind that offensive line, and with not the greatest skill guys in the history of the world. I just think it's not going to be pretty offensively for the Broncos this year.
We are talking to Jason Lockenfora for a couple of more moments. GLC, the Chargers beat the Colts on Sunday, and they did so without Melvin Gordon. Austin Eckler had a big performance in Gordon's absence, but where do things stand now with Gordon and that contract?
Nothing's changed. I don't anticipate much changing in the short term. you know, he has to come back by November in order to play football at all this year. He's sitting out the entire year really gains him nothing financially and certainly in terms of free agency status, and he doesn't gain any freedom. The Chargers still have his rights for multiple years if they wanted to include a franchise tag. So he's going to play. He'll probably come back at some point late October, early November. If the Chargers continue to – I will say this, though. Like, Eckler looked great, but, like, Mike Williams is dinged up now, and the tight end's out, you know, at least a month. It could be a lot more. Again, you know, the left tackle has been hurt. The offensive line doesn't look great on paper right now. And we know their history with injuries. Unfortunately for them, it's about as bad as it gets, and it just seems to keep happening. So 3 weeks from now, we could be talking about a whole different set of circumstances in which maybe all of a sudden Melvin Gordon has more leverage. But right now, things kind of are what they are.
Right. You mentioned the tight end. Hunter Henry goes down again. That is a brutal blow for them. Listen, one last thought before you go. The Jets, Jason, have ruled out Sam Darnold with mono. What was your reaction to the news? And then when you couple that with Le'Veon Bell needing an MRI, and the fact that they're already missing other key players, how bad of a start is this for the Jets?
It's rough, man. And they're getting a Browns team that probably feels like it's not a must-win game, but, it's a big game for the Cleveland Browns for week two. It's just something in Florham Park. I mentioned the Chargers and sort of their injury situation with the Jets. They're just – and a lot of times it is of their own making. They haven't been a well-run franchise. But it's just like there's always another shoe dropping somewhere there, it seems. It's going to be tough, man. I mean, you could make a case at various points in the offseason. You could compare some of their skill guys with other teams, and you look at what Adam Gase has done at times in his career, and you could say, you know what, there's going to be a breakthrough. And I was buying that for a while. I didn't know about sustainability, but this year catching some people by surprise, and the schedule does get easier in the second half, but, I mean, if there's no Le'Veon Bell and there's no Sam Darnold and there's no Quincy Enunwa is already out for the year, some other guys are nicked up, it's going to be tough.
Bad things, bad start. He is an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. He appears every Sunday on the NFL Today on CBS. Jason, looking forward to seeing you Sunday in New York City. Thanks for coming back on first, and I will see you then.
My pleasure. Safe travels, brother. See you
Thank
then.
You, bud. You too. JLC. He's got an amazing resume. But again, he simply would like to be known as the man who will forever have the title of first guest on the Jungle CBS Sports Network simulcast. Jason Lockenfora doing his thing. Thanks, JLC. See you on Sunday.